would you turn also with me in your Forms and Prayers book to the first head of doctrine, articles 14 through 16? You'll find that on page 262 and 263. I know this is zooming out a bit. We will be looking at three articles tonight. It's a bit of a change of pace, but it's important to read articles 15 and 16 tonight in order to understand what article 14 is talking about. See, the pastors at Dort really gave us a pastoral model of what article 14 is talking about, and the best way to see that is by reading these two other articles with article 14. So articles 14, 15, and 16 are our confession tonight. Why does the Bible teach reprobation? And why would we teach it even if the Bible teaches it? Why would Christ himself and the apostles and the prophets and all the rest of the scriptures teach this doctrine about God choosing to leave people in their own misery? Who is this doctrine for? Why was it given? And the answer to all of that is comfort. The doctrine of reprobation is about comfort. It's for the church, and it's for the church's comfort. The Bible teaches election and reprobation because the Bible is the church's book. The apostles and prophets taught reprobation because they are the church's apostles and prophets. And Christ himself taught reprobation because we are his and he is ours. And he wants us to know the fullness of the comfort of election in light of the doctrine of reprobation. Reprobation is comforting doctrine for herding scared sheep, as we saw in our text tonight. In our scripture reading tonight, Pastor John the Apostle is speaking to a group of people who are hurting and confused because they had people last Sunday that were singing the songs with us and they were saying the creeds with us, and this week they joined Satan's team. How do we have comfort? The doctrine of reprobation. Pastor John's reminding us of the glorious truth, the same truth that Paul describes, that it is not as though the word of God has failed. The word of God has never failed and it never will. God's word is true, his purpose and plan don't change and fail, and you are safely in the hands of the Father who drew you in. And so that's our comfort tonight. That's our theme tonight, that reprobation is pastoral comfort. Reprobation is pastoral comfort. The doctrines of grace, both election and reprobation, are for us and they're for our comfort. The church is the place where we teach this, and we teach it so that we can marvel at the greatness of God's mercy in light of his justice. And so the point of this teaching has always been comfort, lively comfort for God's people. We've got 2 points this evening. So our theme is reprobation is pastoral comfort. Our 2 points are this. Reprobation is biblical comfort we need to teach carefully, says our canons. And secondly, reprobation is comfort we need to teach at the right time and place. So these are from Article 14. It's biblical comfort we need to teach carefully, and it's comfort we need to teach at the right time and place. First, reprobation is comfort. It's biblical comfort we need to teach carefully. One professor put it this way, if we teach or preach predestination and it is not a comfort to God's people, then we have not taught it correctly and we have not understood it. And that's because when we recognize that in eternity God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves, that comforts us. When we realize that God is the eternal and undefeated protector of our salvation, that comforts us. And so we need to teach these doctrines carefully, and we teach them carefully like Scripture teaches them carefully, because reprobation has a point. The point is comfort. But these doctrines are in the Scriptures for this purpose, that they comfort us. When Jesus teaches us election in the book of John, he teaches it so that we can know that we are in his hand and he will never let us go. When Jesus teaches reprobation, he teaches, my Father is greater than all, and he's the Almighty One whose almighty and powerful hand powerfully holds you and me. And when Christ teaches election, he teaches election and reprobation so that we can know that he has never lost a single person the Father gave him. When Jesus teaches election, he teaches us election so that we can know Judas was not a mistake. Judas was not a failure in God's plan. It is not as though the word of God has failed. Jesus didn't get so busy that he just forgot about Judas and let Judas fall through the cracks. Jesus did not just give Judas too much leeway and then forget to check in on him. Jesus let Judas do what his own wicked heart desired so that Scripture could be fulfilled. John 17, 10 through 12. All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them. I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except for the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. So why would Christ, the apostles, the prophets, and the Scriptures teach reprobation? Comfort. For the glory of God's most holy name, says Article 14, and the lively comfort of his people. God revealed reprobation for our comfort. He revealed it so that we could know that we are not in by grace and then possibly out if we fail hard enough. We are not in by grace and then possibly lost if God forgets about us. When people leave the church and deny the faith, they do that because the word of God didn't fail. Because he has reprobated some and elected others. We have comfort that the Father who drew us in, and the Comforter who indwells us, and the Son who intercedes for us, have never let anybody go and never will. We have comfort from God's revealed word that the people who leave were always planned to leave. And that's comfort we need. In 1 John, the sheep are hurting. They're struggling because of how many people are leaving. If you're in church in John's day, and they didn't have pews, but if you're standing there, you're thinking, man, I knew Fred. He was here last week. He seemed like a nice guy. Did God lose his grip on him? And if God can lose his grip on that man who seems so genuine, can he lose his grip on me? Am I one bad day away from God letting me go to destruction? And Pastor John the Apostle says, no, by the power of the Holy Spirit and from the teaching of his master, no, those people went out because they were reprobated before the beginning of the world, and you aren't. You have the anointing of Jesus. God gave you a new heart, and he will keep his promise to you, says the text. And this is the promise he made to us, eternal life. Article 15 reminds us tonight that God's word does teach this, that some have not been chosen. They've been passed by in God's eternal decision. And God, on the basis of his entirely free, most just, irreproachable, and unchangeable good pleasure, made the decision about them. He decided to leave them in the common misery that they're in by their own fault. He decided not to grant them saving faith and the grace of conversion. And he decided, finally, to condemn and to eternally punish them after having left them in their own ways and under his just judgment, not only for their unbelief, but also for all their own other sins, in order to display his justice. And that's a hard thing. That's a heavy thing. It's a mysterious thing that God would reveal in his word that he decreed to leave some in their own sin, and yet he is not the author of sin. But notice how all of this gets framed. Notice how our pastors at Dort framed Article 15. What's the first sentence of Article 15? How do they teach it? Why do they say Scripture teaches reprobation? First sentence, Holy Scripture reveals the doctrine of reprobation to highlight the eternal and undeserved grace of our election and to bring it out more clearly for us. Scripture teaches reprobation to comfort us in the justice of God, but even more than that, to highlight the fathomless depth of his undeserved mercy to us, who should have been reprobated like the rest and weren't. So how do we teach reprobation carefully? We teach it like our pastors at Dort and like Paul teaches it in Romans 9. What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Verse 23, in order to make known the riches of his glory, to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. God reprobated some. He chose to pass over some and leave them in their own sin. But he did that in order to show the riches of his glory. He did it in order to show his great mercy. reprobation is in the Bible for believers to know God's mercy. Reprobation is comfort that we need to teach carefully to comfort believers. And that brings us to our second point. Reprobation is comfort that we need to teach in the right time and place. There's a time and place for reprobation. When many of our Arminian neighbors try and paint the doctrine of reprobation in a bad light, they paint it as the picture of God looking down from heaven at hopeless people who are just desperately trying to live with him forever, and he doesn't want them. They paint the picture of God opening up the heavens to leer down at them and yell, "You can't come up here because I don't want you, even though you try so hard, even though you seek me." And that's an awful, blasphemous lie. It's a lie because they paint that picture because they don't understand that the time and place for teaching reprobation is not on the mission field. It's for the church. Reprobation is for the church. We don't teach reprobation to the unconverted. We don't teach reprobation to the not yet converted, those who have heard the call but have not yet believed. We teach reprobation to the church for comfort. And that's what the pastors of Dort were getting at with Article 16. Look back at Article 16. They gave us Article 16 to show us what they meant in Article 14. They gave us Article 16 to show us how to teach reprobation in the right time and place. The time and place for teaching reprobation is the church. Reprobation is not in Scripture to break the bruised reed. Reprobation is not in Scripture for those people who are hearing the loud thunder in the quaking mountain at Sinai and feeling the flames scorch their hand as they try to claim it. And they're hearing the death threats of the law and they're crying out, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" Reprobation is not for them. For those who know their sin and misery but do not yet know the joy of salvation in Christ, reprobation is not for them. Reprobation is not there to prevent you from believing in the gospel. Reprobation is not there to prevent you from hearing that call and believing. Come to Christ, believe the gospel. The gospel is for you. Such people ought not to be alarmed, says Article 16. Keep coming to hear the word of God. Keep trusting Christ. This is not a warning for you. It's a comfort for those who believe. Reprobation is not there to trample on assurance. It's not there to trample the assurance of people who just got here, who just converted, but who still see so much of the old man in their lives, who still see the old man rising up every day, who still see sin rising up in their heart every day. Reprobation is not there to beat us in despair. It's to show us the comfort and the glory and the grace of the God who loved us even though he should have reprobated us, and even though he has reprobated some. Because he elected us, he did not leave us in our sins like the rest of mankind. And the truth of the word of Psalm 9 is this: you, O Lord, have never forsaken anybody who sought you. The truth of the word is the promise of Pentecost that Peter preaches in Acts 2, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Reprobation is not for the mission field. The truth of reprobation is that there is none righteous, though. No, not one. So if the truth of the word is that the Lord has never forsaken those who seek him, the truth of reprobation is there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. And God leaves some people to get exactly what their evil hearts want. God passes over them. He chooses not to mercy them. He chooses not to bend their hearts to want to seek him. And they get the hell that they want and deserve. But the other comfort of reprobation is this. The comfort for the church in reprobation is this, that God has not reprobated us. God did not reprobate everyone because he has loved us in eternity. And his goodness and mercy are going to hunt us down for the rest of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 6, 37 through 40, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Reprobation is not about them. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." So how is reprobation comfort? Reprobation is comfort when we teach it carefully and in the right time and place. Reprobation is comfort because we teach reprobation in the church, to the church, and for the church for our comfort, to know that God has not passed over us. We teach reprobation to those of us who have already believed the gospel so that we can know that God will never lose us, because the people who leave were lost in eternity and He has loved us in eternity. Reprobation teaches those of us who believe the gospel that God has not reprobated us and He cannot lose us. He has chosen us, loved us, and sent His Son to save us. And His love will never let us go, because nothing in creation, not any created thing, not even our own life or death, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reprobation is comfort for the church. Reprobation is there to tell us, and we'll close with this, reprobation is there to tell us that those who are lost were never truly found. But the truly found can never, ever be lost. And that's the comfort of God's word. Amen.
At Covenant Reformed Church in Missoula, Montana, we sincerely believe God's word and faithfully teach it. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays. For more information, please visit MissoulaURC.com. That's MissoulaURC.com.